Oh, all right, let's just do this. I'm a victim. Oh, holy fucking shit. Oh, fuck. Turn the recording level down a little bit. Seriously. This is just gonna be too much. Good morning, children. I'm channeling the spirit of Aaron Clary because I watched a number of Aaron Clary videos last night, in which he laid the usual smack. That needs to be laid. I need to be laid. We all need to be laid. Why don't we get drunk and screw? I'm only on 1.5 cups of coffee, so I'm not firing with all barrels yet. Although, of course, some people would argue I never am, but we're used to that. Bring the recording level back up. I lied. I'm gonna have to pour more coffee, and then I'm gonna have to reposition the speaker. Good morning, children! Channeling the spirit of Aaron Clary. I already said that. Okay, coffee cup refilled. Who am I? I am the Great One himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. I am here to bring you some CLSology. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can send us email, God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. And today is the 23rd of March. Here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, this is the day that all the college kids are back for their first day of classes after spring break. So pretty much everything will go to shit. This is a good day to just stay indoors and stay off the streets because the college kids will be driving down the road after 9 days of drunken madness. They're probably still severely hungover, if not actually drunk. All right. I have notes somewhere. I have notes. Found my notes. I have a bunch of random things to talk about. However, you may wonder why you're hearing strange noises right now. It's because I'm moving the entire microphone stand. Okay, is that looking good in there? Whoa, damn, that's hot. I'm hot. Yes, you're hot too. Yes, you are, especially when you bend over. All right, we're hot. You may be wondering what was up with all that laughter. Holy shit. So, I was doing some research, otherwise known as typing shit into Google and believing the first thing that comes up. I was doing some research for an upcoming project about trigger warnings. Now, for those of you who are not losers, what a trigger warning is this is this new femistatist thing that when you write an article, if there's anything in the article that might trigger people's victim status, right? So say, for example, you're going to write an article about pedophilia. Okay, so a victim of pedophilia, or of course a pedophile who is not allowed to have sex with small children and is also therefore victimized, or a person who was fucked by an adult when they were a small child. Like, for example, if you were one of the boys that Jerry Sandusky had sex with in the shower, you might be traumatized by people talking about pedophilia. And so the left-wing statist, femistatist author of this article would put a trigger warning at the beginning. It would say, trigger warning, or for pedophilia or whatever, so that somebody reading would know, oh my God, if I'm triggered by references to pedophilia, my feelings might get hurt by this article, and now I can avoid it. I can foresee the days when everything on the internet is required to have a trigger. I can see the day when Google actually searches out and indexes trigger warning tags, when SEO actually includes a very specific trigger warning tag. I can see this being foisted upon us in order to make sure the internet is fair and diverse and multicultural and tolerant and all this other shit. I also, damn man, look at that. I'm looking good. I'm looking sexy. Went trail running 3 days in a row. I'm taking a day off. I'm going to do yoga today, not trail running. Then the plan is tomorrow I'm going to do a longer trail run. And I was just looking down. I'm like, God damn, I look good. Fucking little vanity there, huh? Vanity early in the morning. It's actually not early. It's 8:30. There was a really good video I watched by Davis Aruni over on the YouTubes where he talked about the Starbucks race together thing. And boy, did he make some good fucking points. I need a link to this video. Randy, help me remember to link to that video. Put the video in the post. I'm making notes. You make notes too, otherwise we'll both forget. Well, yes, of course we will, because we're both so incredibly fucking good looking that we'll just be looking at ourselves and forget everything else, because God damn it, I'm sexy. Anyway, Aruni did this video about the hashtag race together thing that Starbucks is doing. Boy, did he fucking make some brilliant, brilliant observations. For those of you who are not losers and have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about, you know, for those of you who have a life and actually do things, apparently the CEO of Starbucks has decided that he wants to talk about race relations in America, which is another way of saying he wants to talk about how heterosexual white men who work for a living oppress everybody else. And of course, because he's a heterosexual white man, who he doesn't necessarily work for a living, but he certainly has a job. So of course, he's feeling a lot of guilt about slavery, something that happened a long time ago and none of us had anything to do with, but nonetheless he has a lot of white guilt because he's been taught to have white guilt by society. So what he has told these Starbucks baristas to do, or at least what he has encouraged them to do, this is the thing, I don't know if this is mandatory. So when you go into Starbucks and you buy your coffee, your barista is supposed to write some shit on your coffee cup like race together and encourage you to talk about race. So what we have here, now Aruni, these are all Aruni's points. I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't. This is why I watch his videos, even though he's a right-wing statist and says some really stupid shit sometimes. He also says some mind-blowingly good shit, like this. My brain's not working yet. It's good shit, man. Dude, I'm smoking a joint, man. It's good shit. He says intelligent and perceptive things that show he's fucking thinking, unlike you fucking most of you statists out there. So he's a statist, but he's okay for a statist. Remember when Chick-fil-A, the owners of Chick-fil-A, came out and said they didn't approve, they were against gay marriage or whatever the fuck they said. I don't know what they actually said because I don't care because I have a life and I'm not a virgin. But remember all the fucking explosion? Now, at no point did Chick-fil-A owners, the Chick-fil-A owners, to use proper grammar, tell their employees or their franchise owners, you have to do a certain thing. You have to behave a specific way. You have to say certain words to the customers. They just came out and said, hey, you know, this is what we think. Here we have the CEO of Starbucks telling his employees that they are supposed to have conversations about race relations. What if they don't want to? I mean, here we have a CEO of a company attempting to force his political ideology upon his employees. This, of course, is a wonderful and enlightened thing because it's pushing femistatism, because it's pushing victim culture. Can you imagine what would happen if the owners of Chick-fil-A tried to force their employees to talk to their customers about how homosexuals shouldn't be allowed to get married? When you're going into Starbucks to get some coffee, do you really want to fucking talk about racial relations? Rooney pointed out that this is a thing. I don't drink Starbucks coffee because it gives me the shits. There's something about their coffee that gives me diarrhea. It should tell you something about the quality of their coffee, perhaps. If I actually was willing to give my money to Starbucks, which I'm not, my God, you could just go there and just troll the shit out of them. It would be so much fun. And if the barista who wants to race together with me is hot, then I could totally fucking hit on her because, oh, we can race together, baby. Anyway, I'm going to link to the video. I'm going to let Rooney say it himself, but he makes some really good points. Moving back in time to back when the dinosaurs ruled the earth. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but this is a fact. We figured out a fact. When the dinosaurs ruled the earth, they all had to walk uphill. The plant-eating dinosaurs had to go uphill in order to reach plants. And of course, the meat-eating dinosaurs all had to go uphill to eat the plant-eating dinosaurs. And all the water was uphill also. So everybody had to go uphill in order to drink water. And of course, mating. All the dinosaurs had to walk uphill to mate with each other. Trigger warnings. I was Googling trigger warnings to get a little more information about this so that I could adequately and effectively make fun of them and create a parody of trigger warnings. And this is for an upcoming project. I have a couple of upcoming projects. We'll see how that goes. We know about me and my upcoming projects and how often they don't happen. I found a website. Oh, thank God for the fucking internet. This is the Geek Feminist Wiki. So I read the page about trigger warnings, what they are, and how to use them on the Geek Feminist Wiki, which is, of course, geekfeminist.wiki.com. Wikia.com. I will put a link to this page. There was a link on the trigger warning page to the spoon budget page. And I said, what is the spoon budget? So I clicked on it and I read it. This is victimhood. There are people on this planet going through their entire life seeking every fucking opportunity to be victims. I'm fucking sick of it. I am fucking sick of the parasitical victims acting like they are so fucking oppressed in ways that nobody else is, because by, you know, fucking white, oh my God. And then over on the, oh God, I gotta put that picture in the blog about how women can't be sexist. Over on the Decline of America in a Photo website, there's this picture from some kind of fucking textbook where it's got this little box with the stop hand. Little hand is coming up to stop you. It says stop. While women can be something, whatever. Women can be... Fuck. What's... Hang on. there's a fucking train going by, first of all, disturbing my train of thought. Oh, train of thought, get it? Oh, that's so funny. Oh, God, slap your knees, kids. Goodbye, America, in a photo. Here we go, I got it. Stop. There is no such thing as reverse racism or reverse sexism or the reverse of any form of oppression. While women can be just as prejudiced as men, women cannot be, quote, just as sexist as men, unquote, because they do not hold political, economic, and institutional power. No, women have no political, economic, or institutional power. Hillary Clinton is not about to be the president of the United States. Women hold no political offices. Women don't have any money. That whole thing about how women spend more money than men, that's impossible. Women are completely fucking oppressed. Women don't spend any money whatsoever. Women have no control over the marketplace. Women have no fucking say in what they spend their money on. Oh my God, fucking Christ. All right, I'm just going to talk about this briefly. I'm going to come back to this because it's a whole thing unto itself. There was this dumb fucking whore that came to CSU to give this speech about women being oppressed. And in her speech, she said that 80% of the money women make is reinvested in their community, as opposed to only 40% of the money men make. This is the most obviously bullshit, made-up statistic ever. It is impossible for the fucking 80% of money a woman makes to be reinvested in the community unless either you say reinvested in the community means paying rent, paying utilities, paying back school loans, buying clothing, buying shoes, buying makeup, getting drunk in bars. Okay? No. It's just, and fucking nobody questions this shit. Not one fucking college fucker at the college newspaper or in the room. Nobody fucking questions this shit. It's just these bullshit statistics. So to say women have no institutional power, bullshit. When you can stand in front of a group of people and tell a lie like that and never be questioned, I'd say you have institutional power. What about the entire motherfucking divorce industrial complex that fucking make sure women get the children, that make sure women get alimony payments, child support payments, WIC, welfare, food stamps, Social Security? What do you mean women don't have institutional power? What about all the motherfucking abortion that's provided? What do you mean women don't have institutional? What about all the different forms of birth control for women, which are all covered by insurance, as compared to the non-existent forms of birth control for men, the only one of which is a vasectomy, which is not covered by insurance? What do you mean women don't have institutional power? The fuck is wrong with you people? I know what the fuck is wrong with you. You're a bunch of goddamn stupid victim femistatists. You fucking hate white men who work for a living. And so all of this is a manifestation of this. Remember back in the days when this was a blog about bitching about statism? Oh, but wait, femistatism is statism. I have to keep repeating that. Why don't you talk about anarchy anymore? You're just always bitching about women. No, I'm not bitching about women. I am bitching about femistatist, a very specific subgroup of women who represent everything that statism is. Somewhere on one of the blogs I follow, I was reading a guy was talking about how he got banned from another forum because in a discussion about democracy, he pointed out that women and poor men should not be allowed to vote because women always vote for socialism and poor men are men who can't get their own shit together and therefore shouldn't be making laws about other people. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the correct position. But of course, the femistatist banned him from the forum because that's what femistatists do, because femistatists believe in tolerance, diversity, and open-mindedness, and all this other horseshit, which basically translates into the attacking and destruction of anyone who does not share the same opinion they have. Anyway, so there's all of that. Oh my God, 80% of the money a woman makes goes back into the community. I mean, how fucking brain dead can a people be to read something like that and completely be unable? Well, you have to be brain dead enough to be a femistatist or a statist. All right, anyway, Let me get back to the spoon budget. This is the funniest shit ever. This is, you know, this is it. This is statism to its core. Statism is sheep, sheeple, slaves, looking for excuses to be victims so that they can then use their victim status to get things from people that actually create. This is the mindset of the statist. I am a victim, I am oppressed, I have all these problems, and you can't judge me, you can't critique me. Again, let me emphasize for people listening, it's going, this isn't anarcho-capitalism, you're judgmental. I've did a podcast on this already, I've talked about this. Just because you believe in nonviolence and respect property rights doesn't mean you can't be judgmental of people who are fucked up, people who are evil, people who are assholes, people who are stupid, people who want to kill you, people who want to take your money away from you, people who want to restrict your speech, people who want to restrict your actions, and people who are motherfucking statist, okay? Being an anarcho-capitalist does not mean you're not allowed to be judgmental of other people's beliefs and actions. And wherever you fucking people who are, you fucking left-wing anarchos, you fucking left-wingers who are trying to infiltrate the libertarian ANCAP movement, you need to go fuck yourselves, okay? I don't want to say movement, I just said the movement, like I'm taking a shit. Right, you left-wingers who are trying to label yourselves as anarcho-capitalist or libertarians because you recognize that fucking left-wing, that liberal, progressive, all these are dirty words, why don't you get the fuck off of our territory? Okay, will you fucking leave the fucking word alone, right? I gave up the word libertarian, even though this is still called the Cynical Libertarian Society, I gave up the word libertarian because Republicans like Ron Paul and, what's his face, the Blaze guy. Damn it, used to be on Fox News. And Julie Berensky and Paul, now, God, what's it? Why can I not think of his name? Glenn Beck, right? People like Glenn Beck are trying to call themselves libertarians because they know that conservative Republican is a bad word. Now you fucking lefties are trying to latch on to the fucking anarcho-capitalist tag so that you can get a piece of this. Take your fucking speech control, fucking political correctness, goddamn victimhoodness, and, you know, like Ben Stone. I still got to do a podcast in which I rip Ben Stone another asshole for being a fucking feminist. You fucking feminist who want to be anarcho-capitalist, you need to go the fuck away. You're a goddamn femistatist. Call yourself a femistatist. If being a fucking femistatist is something to be so proud of, call yourself a fucking femistatist. Stop trying to pass yourself off as anarcho-capitalist. All right, now, can I get back to talking about the spoon budget? I'm gonna, like, not get to any of the other fucking notes. All right, here we go. This is from the Geek Feminism Wiki. This is the spoon budget. This is fucking hilarious. This is pathetic. This is hilarious. This is victimhood. This is statism. Spoon budget, or simply spoons, is a metaphor used to illustrate how the need for energy budgeting affects the lives of people with disabilities and or chronic diseases. The metaphor arises from Christine Miserando's article, quote, "But you don't look sick," unquote. This is a quote from her article. At that moment, the spoon theory was born. I quickly grabbed every spoon on the table. Hell, I grabbed spoons off the other tables. I looked at her in the eyes and said, "Here you go, you have lupus." She looked at me slightly confused, as anyone would when they are being handed a bouquet of spoons. The cold metal spoons clanked in my hands as I grouped them together and shoved them into her hands. I asked her to count the spoons. She asked why, and I explained that when you are healthy, you expect to have a never-ending supply of spoons. But when you have to now plan your day, you need to know exactly how many spoons you are starting with. It doesn't guarantee that you might not lose some along the way, but at least it helps to know where you are starting. She counted out 12 spoons. I asked her to list off the tasks of her day, including the most simple. as she rattled off daily chores or just fun things to do. I explained how each one would cost her a spoon. When she jumped right into getting ready for work as her first task in the morning, I cut her off and took away a spoon. I practically jumped down her throat. I said, "No, you don't just get up. You have to crack open your eyes and realize you are late. You didn't sleep the night before. You have to crawl out of bed, and then you have to make yourself something to eat before you can do anything else, because if you don't, you can't take your medicine. And if you don't take your medicine, you might as well just give up all your spoons for today and tomorrow, too." I quickly took away one spoon, and she realized she hadn't even gotten dressed yet. Showering cost her one spoon. Just washing her hair and shaving her legs. That's the end of the quote from the article, which that was painful, wasn't it? Because of the author of the metaphor talking about lupus, the spoons terminology is perhaps the most often used by people with invisible fatigue and/or pain disorders. But it is also used with people with other types of disabilities, including mental illness. Note for abled allies. People without disabilities sometimes get sick or tired or overcommitted, which in some ways is analogous to having a spoon budget in terms of needing specifically allocated limited energy to routine daily chores. However, disabled people have asked that the spoons terminology not be appropriated by abled people. This is in bold. The spoons terminology not be appropriated by abled people. Because you see, at this point, we have reached a point in life where having limited resources, such as 24 hours in a day and only a certain amount of physical energy to do things, this is now victim status. This is now a disability. Because you see, us able-bodied people, you know, as heterosexual white men and heterosexual white women who work for a living and actually produce things. See, we have an unlimited amount of energy. We don't have any kind of fucking constraints at all because of patriarchy, of course. We are able to transcend time and space and dimension. We don't have limited amounts of resources like you poor fucking disabled people do. You're such victims. Specific differences. These are these specific differences. This is why you able-bodied people should not use the spoons metaphor. Specific differences. The illnesses of abled people are acute, and they do not have to plan how to maintain a job or social life or household long-term with their illness energy level. Right, see, so if you're a heterosexual white man who works for a living and pays taxes to support single welfare mothers who are having sex with multiple men, see, you don't have to make any kind of long-term plans about how to maintain your job or your social life or your household, because you can transcend time, space, and dimension. There are no limits on your energy. Abled people do not have to face long-term constant scrutiny over whether they are really sick, whether they are trying hard enough to get well, whether or not they deserve any assistance they receive, and so on. No, able-bodied people, we have no scrutiny upon us at all. We have no scrutiny on the things we do. We have no scrutiny on everything we do financially, which is called reporting to the government, paying taxes, obeying regulations, getting permission to run a business, getting permission to have a job. Right. We have no fucking scrutiny. We have nobody ever calls it. Nobody has. No, no. And of course, as for the deserve the assistance we receive, well, you see, we don't receive assistance because we're not victims. If you don't want to be scrutinized about all the assistance you are receiving, which is funded by heterosexual white men and heterosexual white women who work for a living, then maybe you shouldn't get the fucking assistance. But you're statist, and you're getting all of this fucking life support from the state, which is paid for by people who create things. So yes, when those of us who create things and fucking provide all this stuff that you use see you, we're going to fucking have something to say about it. You need to fucking deal with that. It's the rules, buddy. If you're living in my house, you're eating my food, I get to call the fucking shots. All of you out there who are fucking victims, how is it that you fucking victims have all this time and energy to create the Geek Feminist Wiki, but you don't have time and energy to create anything that's actually fucking useful that might make you some money? Right? What if you took all the time and effort put into the Geek Feminist Wiki and maybe, I don't know, learned to do computer programming and write some fucking software that people would pay you money for? Oh, but then you wouldn't be a victim anymore. Then you might actually have to pay some taxes instead of receiving tax money. And so you maintain your fucking victim status by coming on the internet and playing all these fucking victim cards and whining about how you have only a limited amount of energy, but all those abled people, oh, they're not like us. And then you wonder why you're discriminated. There's an entire wiki here explaining how you are different than able-bodied people. There's this whole thing you're talking about. This is how we're different from able-bodied people, and we don't want able-bodied people to look at us like we're different. Well, no, you're different. I know you're different because I'm sitting here reading a web page right now where you're telling me how you are different than me. Not only are you different, you're telling me you are inferior because you're telling me you have a limited amount of energy. Why, you can barely just even open your eyes in the morning because, oh, you're so oppressed. I mean, I'm not oppressed when I open my eyes in the morning. I am clearly superior to you. You don't like it? Then you stop telling me you are inferior to me. I will stop telling you I am superior to you. Again, for those of you who are fucking left-wing fuckers who are trying to infiltrate anarcho-capitalism, there's nothing in anarcho-capitalism that says some people aren't superior and some people aren't inferior. It just says you can't initiate violence against other people and you have to respect their property rights. Other people are clearly inferior. Other people are clearly superior. Fucking deal with it. All right, here we go. Abled people do not experience chronic pain or discomfort. How the fuck do you know? Many abled people can voluntarily reduce their commitment level at or before the point where they become too tired to do routine chores such as dressing. Here's a question. Why do you victims need to get dressed? Where the fuck are you going? It's not like you have jobs. I mean, you're just sitting around your house getting government payments. The shit fucking automatically goes into your bank account. You have caregivers that come, paid for by tax money, and take care. Where the fuck are you going? What do you need to get dressed for? What the fuck are any of you people doing? How much fucking effort does it take to play the victim card? Natural selection says you people should be dead. I know it's offensive. I know you're denying science. I know you deny evolution. Natural selection says your DNA should not be passed on. But not only are you people alive, not only are you parasites on people that create and work for a living, not only are you on the internet writing websites about how you're victims, but you're reproducing because the state is taking money away from people that create, that produce, that drive the economy, and giving that money to you so that you can be kept alive so that you can vote Democrat. Statism will be the destruction of the species. The human species cannot biologically, intellectually, or morally, and I don't like the word moral. I did listen to a Stefan Molyneux video here back, and he said something I really like, because I've always had this problem, because ethics and morality, of course, is all about how do you justify the government killing people without individual people being able to kill people. So those terms are really polluted. And Molyneux made this point that if you have some ethical thing, moral, if you make some statement like you should not rape, okay, either it's universal and it applies to everyone, or it's not. So instead of saying it's a moral or it's a ethical statement, you say it's a universal statement, which I like that a lot better, because of course when you say you shouldn't rape people, this is a universal. You then, when you start making exceptions for the state, you recognize how stupid this all is, right? Because we all say, well, it's wrong to kill people. Well, unless, of course, you're wearing a costume, you know, if you're a police officer, if you're a soldier, if you're a government agent, if you're the president of the United States, then it's totally fine. So obviously, for the 99%, the concept that it is wrong to kill other people is not a universal. So anyhow, the point is that as long as the state is keeping people like this alive so that the state can maintain its power, we as a species cannot move forward biologically, cannot move forward intellectually, cannot move forward in the realm of understanding and applying universal principles, such as it is wrong to initiate violence against other people, and you should respect other people's property rights. You have to crawl out of bed. You have to make yourself something to eat. Oh my God, it must be so terrible to be a victim. Oh, victimhood. Okay. We're done with that. Moving on. What am I moving on to? Randy, where are we on time? Beauty, thank you. Let's see. Ooh, I did that. I did the spoons. Yeah. Here, this is fucking hilarious. In a bad way. I was listening to the Marketing Over Coffee podcast, which I highly recommend you listen to if you're interested in marketing, social media, and some kind of tech-related stuff. They're usually around 20 minutes long. They're nice, short, sweet, to the point. Marketing Over Coffee podcast. Google it, you'll find it. One of the two hosts of the show was talking. I can't remember if he... No, he went there. He went to the Google headquarters. And he was talking about how at the Google headquarters, in the cafeteria, the food is color-coded. The food that is good for you, according to Google, is marked green. I don't know how they do it, whatever, but it's designated as green. The food that's is designated yellow, and the bad food is designated red. And then he said that it's actually optimized, this is the term he used, optimized by location. So the green food is easy to get to, and there's a lot of it. The yellow food is harder to get to. I don't know if you have to go through a maze or solve puzzles or what, but the yellow food is harder to get to and there's less. And the red food is really hard to get to and there's not much of it. I just thought, wow, Google is a corporation that you people worship that hires people who are so fucking stupid they don't know how to feed themselves without the corporation telling them what is good food and what is not good food. I've made this argument multiple times before. Statists are the only fucking animals on the planet Earth that are too fucking dumb to feed themselves. When I talked about how the government is talking, it's government, somebody, I read an article a while back where somebody was considering putting some kind of computer terminals or something in stores in order to help people on food stamps find nutritious food. But do you realize that statists are the only fucking species of animal on the planet that needs an outside entity, the government or the corporation or the schools, to tell them what is and isn't good food. You look at a fucking hamburger from McDonald's. A fucking normal person with brain cells can figure out this is not nutrition. But if you're a statist, you're not that smart. You need the state to tell you what you should and shouldn't eat. Again, this is why, until statism is eliminated and people who aren't smart enough to figure out what food they should eat are eliminated from the gene pool, the species cannot progress. We cannot move forward biologically, intellectually, or in the realm of universals. It cannot happen until statism is eliminated and these people are removed from the gene pool. You can't do it. Speaking of the grocery store, this happened a while back. I need water. This happened a while back, before the last winter storm hit us, which wasn't really much of a winter storm, but it was, you know, it was snow. And whenever there's any possibility a winter storm is coming, everybody panics and they go to the grocery store and they buy a bunch of stuff. So I was at the grocery store as well, not because a storm was coming, but just because it happened to be the day I needed to go to the grocery store. Randy, I need to go get grapes today. Put that on my list. Wait, did the government Randy, can you Google and see if it's okay for me to eat grapes? Could you check with Google and with the government? Could you check maybe the White House website and see if grapes are okay for me to eat? Because I'm not really sure if I can eat those or not. Thanks. Appreciate it. So I went to the grocery store because it was that time, and everybody's in there freaking out, and they're buying stuff, and there's long lines. It was interesting. You know, so I'm looking around. There's all these people. They got their water, and they got food, and all this stuff. And then there's one guy in line, and all he has is one of the big plastic bottles, whatever they are, liter, 2 liter, I don't know, but I don't buy fucking carbonated sugar water. He's got a big fucking bottle of Mountain Dew, and that's it. I was just like, yeah, there's somebody who's obviously stocking up for the storm. Bottle of Mountain Dew. All right, I don't have time to do this. Do I have time to do that? All right. Ooh, God, that's a whole podcast right there. That's actually a podcast right there. That's actually a podcast. Actually, those notes are a podcast. So let's do this one. How am I on time? How are me on time? The fuck did I learn to talk? How are me on time? Okay, let's talk about this. This all goes back to the reality principle. Once again, Aaron Cleary. Go to Aaron Cleary's YouTube channel. Search for his video, The Reality Principle. Watch it. You need to understand the reality principle. To me, this is this needs to go in the book too. Fuck. Hold on, I gotta make a note for self. Okay. As you go through the world, you need, as part of the reality principle, you need to not simply reach the right conclusions. You need to reach the right conclusions for the correct reasons. I have talked about this before, but I have new listeners. I have to talk about this again. This is fucking critical if you don't want to be a stupid motherfucker. Now, if you want to be a stupid motherfucker and just vote for Hillary Clinton in the next election, that's cool, go for it. Because the faster the decline comes, the better off we all are. The sooner the economy of this country crumbles, the sooner we can get busy, those of us who actually do things and don't play the victim card, the sooner we can get busy actually creating something out of the ruins. So please, vote Hillary Clinton. You have to reach conclusions in the right way, you have to understand context and past and history. Here's what I'm talking about. Let's start with this one. I was trying to think of an example. And actually, let me use this one. Back in the dark ages, when we walked uphill, when I was in high school, I had this science teacher. And she actually explained this same thing. And here's how she explained it. She had this beaker of water or something. It looked like water. And it was closed. And she took it and she shook it. And when she shook it, it turned purple. And then, as a couple of minutes went by, the purpleness dissolved and went back to be transparent. And she said, so who has a theory about why this is happening? And there's some blah, 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 blah. And then she said, okay, so here's the thing. You could come up with a theory. Here's my theory. My theory is that inside this water, there are a whole bunch of really little tiny gremlins, and they're transparent. Now, when you shake the water, they hit the sides of the glass and they bruise. And when they bruise, they turn purple. And that's why the water turns purple. And then they heal really quickly. And so that's why the water changes back to transparent from being purple. Now, under her theory did in fact correctly explain what was being seen. You had a transparent liquid, you shake it, it turns purple, and then it gradually goes back to being transparent. But the actual reason, the mechanism behind her explanation, is wrong. A lot of people think, these would be stupid people, a lot of people think that as long as you reach the right conclusion, it doesn't matter how you got there, right? That's the concept of Common Core education. That's modern math. Actually, no, wait, modern math is exactly the opposite. Modern math is, it doesn't matter what answer you get, all that matters is you tried. Okay, my bad, I misspoke on that one. For example, okay, here we go. Global warming is a perfect example of this. Global warming says the climate is going to change. Is the climate changing? Yes, it is, because the climate always changes. But is the climate changing because heterosexual white men are destroying the environment? Is the climate changing because of man-made activities? You can reach the right conclusions, which the climate is changing, which is like saying that water is wet. But if you're reaching them for the wrong reason, you're going to have a fucked up life. You're not going to be able to grasp what's going around you. You're going to be a dumbass. A subset of this is not understanding where things come from. And if you don't understand where things come from, you're going to put your expectations in the wrong place. Let me illustrate this. If you believe that A causes B and you want more B, then you're going to be looking for, trying to find, so forth, so on, more A. The problem arises is that if A actually doesn't cause B, then you are, as they say, putting your ladder against the wrong wall. If you want a job, and you think that the government creates jobs, and you wait for the government to create a job, you're going to be waiting a really long time. If you think that equality comes from legislation, and so you're waiting for legislation to make you equal, then you're going to be waiting a very long time. If you think that you own your own body and you're waiting for the government to give you permission to get married, it's going to be a really long time before you own your own body. As you go through life, you must always, well, not always. You can be a failure. Again, you can be a fucking failure. You can be a goddamn statist. This is for those of you who want to not be in the 99%, those of you who don't want to go through life being a victim. You have to always examine and understand the real cause of things. Just even when you reach the right conclusion, you have to ask yourself, have I reached the right conclusion for the right reasons? Critical thinking. I know it's hard, but you have to do it. You can reach the conclusion there are no unicorns, but you have to understand the process. It's just, and the process is not, I saw it on a bumper sticker, they said it on the TV, Obama said so. These are two of the biggest thinking flaws I see in those of you who are statist, is a lack of understanding of what creates what, and a lack of understanding for supporting your conclusions. Again, I can't get away from the global warming wackos, right? The climate is changing. Well, yes it is. But that doesn't mean the climate is changing because of humans. Now, of course, again, this is the difference between an intelligent person and a global warming wacko. Does human activity have some effect on the environment? Of course it does. But is the climate changing completely the fault of the human species? No, it isn't. And I'm going to have to do an episode on global warming coming up, because I got some comments on the YouTube's channel that I need to talk about on a couple of different videos. One of them on a global warming video from a global warming wacko who, you know, utters all the usual religious shit that global warming wackos say, and it's pathetic, and of course there's no evidence, because global warming wackos never have any evidence. And that's the thing, when you've got your conclusion and you're looking at your conclusion, always ask yourself, do I have actual evidence of this conclusion? Is this a conclusion which is based on some kind of empirical evidence and rational thought process, or is this simply me repeating and parroting something I saw on a bumper sticker or on Fox News or on motherfucking MSNBC? It is often just a matter of opinion. I don't bother with the other side. I'm right. I've always been right. I will always be right. I am right right now. And how do I do it? Simple. I'm never wrong. All right, see you, kids.